So, any question anyone like to discuss in this valuable time that we have? Well, a good example of an indication of the importance of Shiksha over Diksha is in our parampara, you see Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, his photo, next to that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's photo, next to that Gorkhasura Das Babaji. But where is the Diksha Guru of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Jagannath Das Babaji is the Shiksha Guru. Bhaktivinoda Thakur considers him the Shiksha Guru. So, and I would say that even a little beyond me, but I think even that is a little misleading. Maybe not, I can't say for certain, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur is that type of devotee that when he appeared in this world, he came from the other world. He came from that plane of Goloka and descended here. So we don't really see the necessity for some connection, Diksha or Shiksha, for him. But it's shown there so that we can appreciate the line as like a continuous line. But another point is, someone asked the question of Srila Guru Maharaj, I don't know if I can remember it so clearly, but we don't see Ikshvaku in our disciplic succession. Something like this. Ikshvaku, the sun god. We have Brahma, Mud, and it goes, well, I don't remember it so well, but Brahma, Devala, Sita, Vyas, something like that. And so many important, even, prominent and important personalities are sort of missing, right? And only the most prominent are listed. I think someone asked the question, something like, why don't we see Arjuna, or why don't we see Ikshvaku, or something like that. I don't remember exactly. So, the parampara that we're looking to for the guidance, who is it's not every member of our lineage, it's not even every important member, but it's the most prominent members, the most prominent members of our sampradaya. So Srila Sridhara Maharaj said that it's like going down a highway and you'll see some markers. Like if we're coming here, right, from Kolkata. Krishnagar, 50 kilometers. Krishnagar, 25 kilometers. Krishnagar, 13 kilometers, something like that. Right? But it doesn't say Krishnagar, 50 kilometers, 375 centimeters, 200 millimeters, etc. Right? It doesn't mark every single point between Kolkata and Krishnagar. But some important points. And then between, important point between Kolkata and here for us is Krishnagar. But not every little village. Where may not think every little village that we pass, there are so many. I have no idea their names or what they are or anything. But there's so many. But they're not mentionable or noticeable. But Krishnagar, that's noticeable. So that's mentioned. So, like that, in the Shiksha Guru Parampara, it doesn't mean that there aren't other important parts, valuable parts, persons with with pure connection with our lineage. But it only means those that who are most prominent are shown there. And they made some unique contribution which has been noted and accepted by our group. And another sense, and some are there who in some sense don't really have such an affiliation with the lineage of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're called Brahma, so basically three things, Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, right? So that's like when you try to compress everything into the smallest statement, what is our sampradaya? Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya. But really, Brahma, in some sense, is not so significant. Madhvacharya, not so significant. But Gaudiya, there's where everything becomes very significant. Gaudiya means Mahaprabhu. From Mahaprabhu onwards, then tremendous significance. So Brahma is important, so he's not neglected. Madhva is important. He did many things to establish a Gaudiya light or a Gaudiya like conception, something which showed the importance of Vaishnava Seva and personal qualities of the Absolute, things of that nature. And his the entourage of the Absolute, Krishna with his entourage, things of that nature. But when Mahaprabhu began to preach his conception, then it really just outshined everything else, you know, so much so that there, you know, sort of almost really unseen through that light of Mahaprabhu. We recognize them. They made contributions which are important. But after Mahaprabhu, for us, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it's from the time of Mahaprabhu that everything really takes shape and really stands out as the highest conception of the, or the highest conception of the personality of Godhead is given, the highest conception of how one can connect with Him, the highest conception, or the best conception for Kali Yuga to take the conditioned souls from the lowest stage to the highest stage that Mahaprabhu has shown us, and so many significant things. And the highest what is the highest prospect for the jiva? No one had given that previously. Madhavendra Puri began to show that. But that in a very like sort of code, very, you know, you can easily miss it if you don't know what to look for. It's a very
subtle,
yeah. So you know, I know I don't know so much about Madhavendra Puri. What I know is significant is Ai Dina Dayarjanata He Matura Nata Kadava Lokya Se Hirdayam Kwad Aloka Katram Daita Brahmyati Kim Karamyaham. And this is something that he recited in the last days, maybe hours of his life, and gives the whole importance to the conception of who is our real shelter. That is Srimati Radharani. What is her position? She is feeling intensely the separation of Sri Krishna. So an indication thereby that who is connected with Srimati Radharani will be in this line of Vipralamba Seva, union through separation. So this really wasn't shown, that we're not aware of it anywhere prior to Madhavendra Puri. But it was so, Madhavendra Puri's conception was so unique, and he was such a powerful personality that, I forget the instance now, but Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling, he met someone, I don't recall, maybe one of you know, I don't recall who it was. He said, "Oh, I think you must have some connection with Madhavendra Puri." Huh? Maybe, is that right? Yeah, okay. So just seeing the qualities of this Vaishnava, Mahaprabhu understood, oh, you must have some connection with Madhavendra Puri. That was the influence of Madhavendra Puri. Powerful. So he's in our parampara. He's very significant. Ishvara Puri, Madhavendra Puri, Mahaprabhu, Goswami. So diksha, the connection that one gets through initiation by the spiritual master, but which also really means that with diksha is also shiksha, but the diksha guru may have a disciple who is more prominent than himself. Lokanath Goswami may be an example. His may not be the exactly correct example, but using him as an example. Let's use Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj as an example. Sort of the same example, but easier to identify with. Someone may ask, well, why is he in the Sampradaya? What is his big achievement? And the answer is, he gave us Saraswati Thakur. He gave us Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So that's enough. Saraswati Thakur is so prominent that who made that disciple, Saraswati Thakur, automatically, he has to be included because his contribution is so great. But Diksha Guru, we should be aware that normally the Diksha Guru, who is giving the Diksha, he will be everything to the disciple. Diksha, Shiksha, the disciple will receive everything from that Guru, unless some unusual event, like his passing away before some initiation takes place. Like he may have given Harinam, but not mantra or something like that. But the Guru passed away before giving mantra to his disciple. Then the disciple will look to another Guru for that mantra. But during the life of the Guru, then that the Guru's who is giving diksha is also giving shiksha, and the disciple will look to that Guru for his shiksha. He'll look to his Guru for everything. Well, everything that is necessary for my spiritual life, you will give to me, my Guru Dev, and not necessary for me to be concerned about going someplace else, looking someplace else, curiosity or anything about other Gurus or something like that. What is necessary for me, I look to my Guru Dev for that. But that also not to discount another type of shiksha, which comes from the Guru's disciples, friends, followers, associates, who are also established in the line of Krishna consciousness, and who he also respects, and they will also be able to be helpful to us in our progress. So that's your service. But that's more or less what I can say. Everything is, the question is, if can a jiva go back to Godhead receiving shiksha but not diksha? Let's take one question at a time, because it's a big question. We have to acknowledge that everything is possible. So is it possible? It's possible. But it's not proper. It's not the accepted way, and because it's not the accepted way, it's also a dangerous way, and we don't recommend it, right? So I know some persons have tried to sort of avoid taking initiation, and different reasons might be given. I'm not qualified. But that's not a good reason. Because I'm not qualified. If you were qualified, then you're the one who doesn't need diksha. Right? You're that one. You're the exception. You're qualified, like Veda Vyas or Bhaktivinoda Thakur or something. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We don't really talk about his Diksha Guru so much. Why? Because he, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is so qualified, it's irrelevant. Diksha Guru of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, more or less irrelevant. Why? Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself is so qualified. So, if you're going to wait until you're that qualified, then the question will be, well, how will you become qualified? Because initiation is part of the qualification to make onward progress. Someone, Madhava Puri Maharaj, he was talking with Guru Maharaj one time and mentioned to him that before he joined Krishna consciousness, he had he thought of becoming a priest in the Catholic Church, like telling Guru Maharaj that he already had some inclination towards, like, you know, monastic life and spiritual life, that type of thing. And Guru Maharaj's answer was interesting. He said, but that is not a systematic approach. In other words, until one comes to Krishna, when you come to Krishna consciousness and accept a guru, then your progress becomes progress of a systematic type, which you can measure. I started here, I'm now here, I'm on my way here, something like that, right? So it's not all a guessing game or something like, I hope at the time of my death I find that I'm delivered to the abode of Christ or some other spiritual personality. No. You don't, it's not a waiting game that, oh, we bide our time and then at death we find out what the result will be. And behind this door, what is there? We'll find out, you know, when we die. No. Krishna consciousness is acceptance of guru outlined by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And is it Rupa Goswami? Am I right? I hope so. So he shows how step by step. So what is it? Gata Sukriti, Gata Sukriti, and Sadhu Sangha, and I can't remember all of them, but in another place he outlines that that through sadhu sangha, when one has gets some faith, then the next step is to accept a guru. Oh, so if you have faith that these teachings are going to help you, then you need to now go to school. You need to enroll in school and get a teacher who will take you through the various classes, right? Who will teach you the various subject matters all the way to the highest level. So, avoiding that, then what's going to help you? Because the type of shiksha that you get in a passive way is generally insufficient. Because how do you know when you've heard something? That's why. Why are we told, study the Bhagavatam under the guidance of a guru, under the guidance of a Bhagavat, someone who is familiar with the absolute truth? Why do that? Well, that guidance is necessary. Same for everything. If first thing, let's go back even a few steps. Where will you get the mantra? We're supposed to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Where will you receive that? Through shiksha? How? Sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishpala mataha. Without enrolling in the sampradaya, whatever mantra you get will have no effect. So where will you get the mantra, which is the means by which you will make your progress? Well, then maybe that shiksha guru should become their diksha guru. If that shiksha guru is sufficient for them, then maybe he should be recognized as their diksha guru. That's generally the way. And if that's not possible, you know, we have acharyas that are traveling and ritviks and so forth, and difficulty may be there, but we have telephones, right? Sometimes people take initiation by telephone. Huh? Principle of? Then I would say whatever he's doing, following some shiksha through reading or something like that, is going to no doubt help him. That through that he'll acquire some sukriti. When his sukriti is sufficient, he'll be able to get a shiksha guru. Anything else?
Yeah.
Is that the same one, the Python man? Yeah, that's the Python man. That's an example of having many gurus, not no guru. Jai Srila Bhakti Lokak Shira Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. I don't know. I don't think it's mentioned, but remember, absence of proof is not proof of absence. Right? Absence of proof that he had a Diksha Guru doesn't prove that he did not have one. Absence of proof is not proof of absence. Absence of proof of evidence is not proof of absence of evidence. So whether he had Diksha Guru or not, I don't know. But again, there are always some exceptions. But do we want, is like, let us say, some people have won $200 million playing the lottery. Shall we depend on that for our livelihood? Right? I'm not going to work. Every once in a while, I'm going to buy a $1 lottery ticket because some people have won $200 million doing that. Well, I could be one of those. So rather than work, you know, every once in a while, I'll give a dollar and buy a lottery ticket. That's to not accept a Diksha Guru is like, you want to play with your spiritual life like that? Does it make sense? The Avadhu? It's been so long since I've read it, I can't remember much of it. Vidya Sundar Prabhu, maybe you can help us. You know the story of the Bhagavatam about the Avadhu?
Of the 11th canto.
Which?
11th canto.
Is that where it is? No. The Avadhut who had, he had 20 gurus.
Yes.
Was my guru is the bumblebee because of thus and such. And yeah. Is that in the 11th canto?
Yes.
Okay.
This story is connected.
Huh?
These stories are connected.
With what?
You know, Avanti Brahmana.
Oh, they are. And is either of those, neither of these is connected to this python man, right? That's a different? Okay. And do you have a question about the Avadhu? Oh, well, why don't you read it? I suggest you read it, and when you read it, I would suggest that you read only the translation of the Sanskrit. Because if you read any other parts, you may become confused. Yeah. This one in particular, there. Huh? Yeah. Or if you do read it and have any questions, please feel free to ask. Okay, sorry Vidya Sundar, I just needed your help for a moment. Anything else? Anyone have any other questions? What is it?
One line to say no diksha, nothing satya. It begins after saying that holy doesn't depend on anything to reveal itself.
Doesn't depend
doesn't
on?
Doesn't depend on anything external. Like if it wants to reveal itself, it will reveal itself. But I was thinking that even in that case, it must be coming from the mind, right? Like there must be such a connection with the mind, even if it's not formed.
Again, everything is possible, but first offense to the holy name is to neglect the Vaishnava, right? Or to make an offense against the Vaishnava. And why? Because that's who is distributing the holy name. that is coming through the Vaishnavas. So they should not be neglected. And during the time of Mahaprabhu, then there was like direct transmission. So many, he's chanting Hare Krishna, and someone heard that, you know, like revolutionary transformation. They go to their village, they chant the same thing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Who hears that? They are also transformed. In this way, the whole universe was transformed. But that, again, time of Mahaprabhu, personality of Mahaprabhu, so many things, you know, extraordinary, like the extraordinary of the extraordinary, most extraordinary. But it's today also, still it's true, but in a with some modification. The guru is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and he is giving to his disciples. His disciples are chanting and trying to distribute that mantra to others. So others, through Harinam Sankirtan, and through books and publications, and so many things, internet, this and that. And we're telling people, oh, chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. All your life will be changed, right? You will be so much benefited. If they start chanting the Hare Krishna mantra on that advice from the disciple of a bona fide guru, then the question is, well, what will happen with them? Right? What is it that they've gotten and so forth? So what they will get through chanting that mantra will be more or less of the level of the nature of Sukriti, but not the sort of spiritual dynamic benefit that they will get after receiving that mantra from the guru that originally was responsible for the distribution. So they'll make progress. The progress is what? Acquiring Sukriti, acquiring Shraddha. Their faith will increase. When it's sufficient, they'll want to associate with the devotees that were responsible for helping them. When it's more sufficient than that, then they'll, with the help and encouragement of those devotees, that person will want to take initiation from the same guru that has helped those devotees, those who he's associated with. Right? They'll be drawn to the class. The class will say, here's our teacher. Oh, I want to join the class. I want to ask your teacher if he'll accept me as a student. Did I miss anything? Are we finished? I have no engagement.
Every morning if you can give us class while you're here, I'd really appreciate
it. I'd be happy to do it. Necessary. You know, I'm mostly in New Jersey, I'm just like, what do you call it? A cogitator. You know what that is? Someone who just thinks to himself, you know, his own thoughts going round and round in his head. He's cogitating, you know, like some old man sitting in the chair on his porch, you know. Well, what are you doing? Oh, just cogitating.
Contemplating
the universe. Until I speak to others, then it's so much theory, you know, and necessary. It's necessary to see it. Oh, does this, what I'm thinking, does it have any practical value? Or is it just all whimsical, you know? So, good to have some questions, some challenges. That's also good. And then I get some feedback, see if I'm thinking in the right direction or not. Maybe going wild, you know. Guru Maharaj said, any moment I may become a madman. If Guru Maharaj withdraws from me, and now what I'm saying now, it sounds so very nice and very high and everything, but if he withdraws from me, in a moment I'll become a madman. It's not my property, it's his property. So, I'm already half mad. Oh, which reminds you, I heard a wonderful thing from Srila Sridhar Maharaj on one of his recordings the other day. He was talking about Ramananda meeting with Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Roy's meeting with Mahaprabhu. And so, Srila Guru Maharaj was saying that, and incidentally, it's available to everyone on our website, scsmotnj.com. And you'll automatically receive this if you're subscribed to our podcast, because it's one of our podcasts. And there's something else about that. Oh, the other day when Goswami Maharaj on the roof was talking about this Aparad Bhanjan pot, that's also on one of those recordings, a video recording of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, where he's talking about Aparad Bhanjan pot, and that recording is improperly titled, but anyway, what can we do? Navadweep Aparad Bhanjan. So if anyone wants to hear more about what Goswami Maharaj is talking about, they can find that on the website. Okay, cool. A little self-promotion. So,
reaching the glory and mounting
the we're trying. So Mahaprabhu was saying, or Srila Sridhar Maharaj was kind of speaking as if he was Mahaprabhu from, it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But Guru Maharaj is sort of giving his own expansion on that. Mahaprabhu is talking with Ramananda, so they're just meeting, and Mahaprabhu, like, Guru Maharaj kind of like thinking out loud like Mahaprabhu might be doing, right? That, I'm having some very kind of insane sort of thoughts. And so because of that, I am speaking like a madman. So anyone who would observe this, they would give no attention, think, oh, some madman is talking about something. And so they will ignore this. Oh, but you, Ramananda, you are mad like me. So therefore, because you are also a crazy person like I am, then naturally you would be interested in the thoughts of a madman. So because we are both mad, therefore we are qualified persons to speak to each other. I thought that was very funny. Huh? Yeah, like thinking out loud like Mahaprabhu would be thinking with in this talk with Ramananda Roy. Huh? Yeah, he says that, but Guru Maharaj is kind of giving a little expansion and like his own sort of idea about it, you know, so we can grasp it. Mahaprabhu was really thinking like, oh, I'm speaking about topics like madman. So no one is interested. No, the public, they're ignoring. No one, you know, here I am, I'm speaking with you, but I'm saying things that are like the thoughts of a mad person. Oh, but Ramananda, why is it that you have been attracted here? Oh, it can only be one reason, because you are mad like me. Because I'm speaking some craziness. You are also crazy like me. Well, naturally you'll be attracted. That's why I'm speaking with you. You are speaking with me. Two madmen speaking together. Some crazy ideas. So anyway, in a less beautiful way, I am at least half mad. Thinking many things, but when I get a chance to associate with the devotees and talk with you, then I can see it makes sense or not. I don't know. I think it would make sense to me. I'll have to find out. Sort of a check, you know, checks and balance. We all need some checks and balances on ourselves. So. Huh?
All making sense to us.
Oh, good. That's. I appreciate that. It means a great deal to me. And, I can think I'm on the right track at least. All right.